Is the goal of detailing preservation, perfection,
or profits? Hi, I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick.
And this is the DIY Detail Podcast. Today we're going to delve into what is detailing essentially, and why are you doing it?
This might sound like a really basic question, but as we discussed this before the podcast, we realized there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is. And there's a lot of different aspects to detailing, and there's a lot of different ways of going about it. And first of all, there's no right way to detail. There might be a few wrong ways, you know, scratching the car, but there's no actual right way. There's no, this is the only way to do something. There are a lot of different methods. There are a lot of different ways, a lot of different products. Choose what you want. But essentially, you need to figure out why you're doing it. And answering the question why is something we do a lot around here.
Well, you like to explain things quite
right.
a bit.
Yeah.
And I like to know the why.
Exactly.
And then once I buy in, the why is very important to me.
Right.
But I don't know if we think about the why when we're cleaning cars.
No, and you should. So if you're a hobbyist at home, the why is to have fun. That should be the first thing. Secondly, the why is preservation. And we have this thing that we purchased that was expensive, and we want to keep it looking good. Now, little aside here, a clean car always is faster, mm-hmm. gets better gas mileage.
Facts.
And is a lot more fun to drive.
Also true.
But that preservation is something that we want to do. And no, it's not gonna, you know, dramatically increase the resale value of your vehicle. It will affect it slightly. But preserving something that we paid a lot for is a good thing. And a lot of people get into detailing the first time they buy a new car. That is when it's like, I've had junkers and now I've got a new car. Oh, I have to learn how to detail it.
You might not even be a clean person at home, but
no.
You understand the amount of money that you paid.
Right.
Even for a budget car, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
You see that price tag, you go through the process of buying it, and you're inspired to, maybe for the first time,
To maintain it. Yeah, which is a great thing. And then you learn that, wait a minute, detailing is fun. This is enjoyable. I like doing this. But there, you know, in that preservation and that hobbyist world, there's a lot of rabbit holes. And people go down some really, really deep rabbit holes and end up sometimes losing sight of why they're doing it. And that is when we get into perfection.
Perfection's impossible. We strive for it.
Right.
We know that it comes off the lot perfect, right?
Yeah, and this is something for the professional detailer. When your customer comes to you and says, I want my paint to be perfect, as a detailer, we're thinking 8 hours of wet sanding, compounding, polishing. 3 days later, we have a pile of paint dust on the floor. We have a paint that is shiny and glossy. We're putting a ceramic coating on it. Meanwhile, all your customer wanted was their car to look as good as it did when they bought it from the lot. And when they bought their new car, from a detailer's perspective, it is not perfect. And if you just bought a new car, you're getting into detailing, and you think that new car you bought was perfect, keep it that way. That's perfect. That's the way we want you. Preserve that. Don't try to make it better. Now, you can make it better. There are ways to make it better. But sometimes going after that perfection is actually damaging the vehicle.
Yeah, we had a new vehicle in here. We ceramic coated yesterday and saw a couple scratches on the driver's door.
Yeah.
But I knew that those scratches weren't visible to the owner.
Right.
And so when we kissed it with, I have to call it kissing it now. I don't know. I didn't come up with the term, but
yeah.
We kissed it with a rotary jeweling pad, right?
Yeah.
I don't mean that we kissed it like it wasn't just, but it was like a very gentle polishing process with our rotary polisher, the red jeweling pad, gold standard polish.
Right.
It does add a lot of gloss. It offers a little defect removal, but there were a couple of scratches left, and I was like, the old me would have for sure tried to compound those up.
Right.
To remove them. And the new me was like, cool, we have shiny paint now. Let's ceramic coat it, protect it, preserve that finite clear coat, because, yeah, it's going to get scratched up again. It's a daily driver.
Right.
But that took years to get there.
Yeah, and detailers that start this as a passion. So I want to make paint perfect. First of all, it's a never-ending struggle. Secondly, you end up damaging cars more than you think. Now, you're at home, you just bought that new car, and what's wrong with my throat today?
It's been a long week.
No. You're at home. You just bought that new car and you're happy with it. Excellent. Now preserve it. Put the ceramic coating on it. Maybe do a little polish beforehand. And this is a question we get a lot of. How often can I polish my car? The least amount possible. Because every time you're polishing, and let me clarify that. Polishing when you're in the USA means an abrasive going over the paint. In some parts of the world, polishing, like polishing your shoes, is putting a wax or a sealant on it. So when we're talking polish, we're talking an abrasive.
Buffing liquid or a polish right. on a pad on a...
On
I guess
machine.
You wouldn't need a machine.
No, you can do it by hand.
Yeah.
If you want a really ever, but... good shoulder and arm workout, that is great.
Oh, wait. Polish on a rag to get on the water spots on the mirror, that can be an acceptable time to polish by hand. That's about it for me.
The odd little area like that, but don't try to do the whole vehicle.
Right.
But polishing is something that every time you do it, you're degrading your vehicle. You're improving the appearance, but you're degrading the longevity of that paint. Perfection versus preservation is something that's very a fine line to walk. And the more we try to perfect, the less we're preserving. And that preservation is something that's important to me anyways.
I mean, sometimes getting a car can be a little short-sighted anyway.
Right.
I think of removing finite clear coat as not a long-term strategy because you want it to shine today.
Right.
You're not worried about whether the paint fails in 10 years.
No.
Because you still owe 30 grand on this car and you want it to look good today, right? That's a short-sighted way of looking at it. And the world's not going to end today if you do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think about doing that and I just, there's wisdom in preserving it.
Right.
It's less stressful. There's less risk. Shiny paint with some scratches is not a big deal because guess what? In a year, I promise you, there's going to be a lot of scratches on that paint, even if you baby this car.
Right. And those scratches, if you... Let's say you remove 10 microns of your paint to get it smooth and perfect and all that. When you get a scratch on it, you're going to be removing another 10. And you get to a point where you've literally damaged the paint and you might have to repaint the vehicle because of you've removed too much. So to answer the question, how often should I polish? Only when absolutely necessary.
Preservation, perfection, profits. We haven't talked about profits. We've talked about sort of the rabbit hole you go down as a hobbyist.
Right.
As a prosumer, you can be a very serious hobbyist.
Right.
Because there's serious hobbyists who are achieving higher levels of like paint or interior detailing than professionals.
Oh, definitely.
But profits is a different story. Doing this for money is a different game.
It's a very different game. And if you start your detailing business after being a prosumer, after being that hobbyist that went after perfection and spent days detailing a car, that may not end well as a business owner. So you have to switch mindsets. If you get into detailing as a business, then you might be looking at it a different way. And detailing is, like most businesses, a customer service business. We are here to serve you. We're here to serve the customer. And how do you serve the customer the best?
Well, one thing I know that you kind of recommend is good communication.
Definitely.
It starts with answering your phone, which nobody ever does anymore.
Yeah.
So you talk about detailers, answer your dang phone.
Yeah, definitely. But we're talking about the preservation, perfection,
profits. Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about a customer service thing.
Oh, yeah.
But to be very good on the communication. I noticed that even when we have vehicles in here, you're sending the owners pictures along the way.
Right.
Like, what is the, I know we're getting a little off track, but what is that strategy? Does that help the customer know what's going on?
The customer knows what's going on. And again, this is probably the second most expensive thing they've ever purchased in their life. And they're giving it to us to make it better, to clean it, to do whatever. And as a business owner, I want my customer to be satisfied. I want my customer to be reassured. And think of detailing as a restaurant. We'll look at it that way. So a lot of detailers, they do this and they take the car in. That's the customer sitting down at the table, you take their order, good. What happens if the server brings you the order, puts it on the table, and doesn't come back till it's time to give you the check? You know as well as I do, every waiter or waitress comes by, they always wait till your mouth is full to ask you, how's the meal so far? Right? Well, they wait till that time, that way you can't go off on them and say it's horrible. You just nod and go, yeah, good. Yeah. But anyways, that is what I'm doing by sending the picture. I'm giving them a bit of a taste of what's coming. And also, it keeps them in part of the process, and they're seeing, oh, wow, I'm getting what I paid for. I'm seeing results. And they're here for me. They're not just, hey, leave your car and I'll take your money later. It's like, oh, they're involved. And we enjoy the process. And the customers enjoy it as well. So seeing that mid-detail picture where they see part of it improved and part of it not.
Still dirty and grungy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. I could think of like a before and after on a seat. Like, hey, we're on your interior. Like, look at how crazy it is before and after. Or look at all the stuff that came out.
Exactly.
As something they'll be like, because they may not even know what the before looked like.
No.
At the end, they may forget how bad it was, or they won't even see what you see. Okay, I like that.
And now, as a profit thing too, you can always add to that. So you're polishing the car. The customer just wanted a sealant. You can send them a little picture saying, look how great your car is, and I really think you'd benefit from a ceramic coating. That might be that little nudge they need for that upsell to a ceramic coating instead of a wax or a sealant.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So preservation, perfection. I mean, we teach preservation on paint versus going after perfection. Then how does someone go from being a hobbyist and being a profitable professional?
Well, profitable professional means you are there to satisfy the customer's needs. And I've said this many times before, detailers, if they owned a restaurant, they'd go out of business because the customer would order a hot dog and they'd bring out a steak. The customer just wants their car to be washed, waxed, shined up a little bit. The detailer goes crazy, polishes for 12 hours, charges the customer for a one step that should have taken an hour, and the customer's happy, but they didn't order a steak, they just wanted a hot dog. And they're definitely not going to pay for a steak because they ordered a steak. So as the detailing business owner, you've given away your time, and your time is extremely valuable. You need to know how to charge for these things and why you're charging, but also when to stop, because there is a point of diminishing returns and there's a point of no returns. And you don't want to hit that wall of being tired, working 60 hours a week, only doing 3 cars a week and going, I don't know why I'm doing this. You lose sight of the fun of detailing. And whether you're a professional or a hobbyist, detailing should be fun. It should be easy. It should be something that you're passionate about. You should be walking into your detail shop in the morning going, yes, I get to do another car today. Not, oh, no, I have to do another car. And work-life balance. So you need profits to have work-life balance, and you need profits for proper customer service. If your business is not profitable, you won't be there to serve your customers in the future because you're going to go out of business, or you're going to just up and quit and go get a day job at McDonald's because it probably pays more than detailing.
Is it more profitable, in your opinion, to offer exterior or interior detailing?
Both should be equal. Now, a lot of detailers, this is where they get upside down in their finances because let's say they do a package at $300. And in their mind, they're saying, if I just do the exterior, I'm going to charge the customer $175. If I just do the interior, I'm charging $175. But if I do as a package deal, I'll charge $300, saving the customer $50. That's a good thing, right? But then you ask the detailer, how long does it take you to do the outside for $150? Oh, easy. Takes me an hour, hour and a half. Great. How long does it take you to do the interior? Oh, 4 or 5 hours. That's wrong. You need to charge the same amount for your time, whether you're doing the interior or the exterior. And if your interior is taking you that long, you can go back to school and learn how to increase your speed and your quality on the interior. Quality and efficiency actually are together. The more efficient you are, the higher quality results you're going to produce.
So what do customers then really notice on the interior that we really need to get right?
Well, where detailers lose time on interiors and lose profits is going after things that are out of their control, and no matter how long they spend on it, it's not going to get better. So you have a stain on the carpet. You spend 5 minutes trying to get that stain out, maybe 10. It's not going anywhere. It's a stain. It's permanent. The only way to do it is change the carpet or dye it. But I've had detailers call me after 2 hours of working on a stain, one stain, saying, I can't get this out. What do I do now? Carry on, do something else. If you haven't gotten it out in 5 or 10 minutes, it's probably not going anywhere. And I know you've gone down that rabbit hole several times.
If it's red, let it be.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you.
Yeah, there
tried a lot of products. There are these red products. You do them twice. You add an iron to a terry cloth towel. You do this, yada, yada, yada. If it's red and it doesn't come out with a little bit of steam or whatever carpet cleaner you're using, you know, you spend 5 minutes on it. And if it doesn't move at all, it's probably going to go.
Right.
There are some good stain products out there for like purples and greens. Like, but if it's red, it's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's my advice to you.
So as a detailer, one thing you have to tell yourself, never tell your customer this, but you have to tell yourself in your head, it's not my fault. It is not your fault that the exterior of the car is all scratched up. It's not your fault they drive it through a car wash every week. It's not your fault they spill coffee between the console and the seat 5 times a day. It's not your fault that their Gatorade bottle exploded on the inside of the car. You're going to make it as good as you can, but you're not going to spend that much time in it. And again, efficiency really becomes key on interiors. You can have a truck that's been off-road mudding, and it's going to take you long, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes longer than cleaning the outside of a truck that just went to church on Sundays.
Well, you talk about it's not your fault.
Right.
But I like to counter and say it is your responsibility.
It's your responsibility to communicate it to the customer that you're going to do your best to clean it.
Yes.
We're not restoring the vehicle. We're cleaning the vehicle.
So it's your responsibility to figure out how to communicate to the customer about that and
right.
your other services. It's also your responsibility on the paint. It's not your fault that somebody else removed most of the clear coat some other time in the history of this vehicle.
Right.
Even if it's a new vehicle. Maybe it was at the lot or something. Maybe they polished it or it's likely used. You don't know what's happened to this vehicle. And someone else, whether it was a detailer or someone at the lot, at the dealership, they could have removed a lot of clear coat. And so if you go over that with one or two passes and you burn through the clear coat and you did everything we teach you, it wasn't your fault, but it was your responsibility. So that's a very rare thing to happen. But let's say you take a microfiber pad and a heavy cut compound.
Right.
And you're going to town on this paint.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that someone else worked on it, but it was your responsibility to be a better steward of that clear coat. So that's where we say there is some risk in trying to be a hero going for perfection.
Yeah, and hero to zero is a very, very quick journey.
If you want a way to ruin your day like this,
that's a good way to
burn through some paint.
Yeah, but we're trying to preserve what the customer has.
Yep.
We're trying to preserve our profitability at the same time. And going over and above is good. The hot dog, the steak, give them a chili cheese dog if you want. But you're not giving them a steak. So if the customer is saying to you, I can have the interior done somewhere else for $50 and you're wanting to charge me $250, tell them to go to that other place. Because that place is going to be out of business soon anyways. It's not a problem. They're not taking your customer from you. One thing you have to tell yourself, never tell your customer this, but you have to tell yourself in your head, it's not my fault. It is not your fault that the exterior of the car is all scratched up. It's not your fault they drive it through a car wash every week. It's not your fault they spill coffee between the console and the seat 5 times a day. It's not your fault that their Gatorade bottle exploded on the inside of the car. You're going to make it as good as you can, but you're not going to spend that much time in it. And again, efficiency really becomes key on interiors. Interior detailing is by far the biggest profit-losing part of detailing for many detailers because they're not efficient, they're trying too hard to do things, and they're not charging enough. And charging enough is a big thing, and it's another subject, but you need to figure out what your hourly cost is, and once you know what your hourly cost is, you need to build that in. And if it takes you 4 hours to do an interior, then you need to charge that or learn how to be faster. And if your customer isn't willing to pay for that, not a problem. It would be like Nick walking into the BMW dealership and saying, I want an M6. Do they still make the M6? I don't know. Anyways.
Not sure.
Yeah. But
comment below.
Yeah. I want an M6, but I want to pay the price of a Kia Forte. He's going to get laughed out of the dealership.
Right.
So if your customer is coming to you and saying, I want you to detail my interior, but I want to pay the same price as the car wash, send them to the car wash. Because it is not your responsibility to clean their car if they're not willing to pay you for it. And another thing you can do is tell them to subscribe to the DIY detailing channel and learn how to do it themselves.
It's really empowering to learn how to do it yourself.
Right.
And like I said, it's very enticing to then want to take this down the rabbit hole to become a professional.
Yeah. And becoming a professional detailer, there's no real certifications out there. There's not a, you have to take this test or else you can't, you know, it's not like the bar exam for being a lawyer. That doesn't exist. If you're satisfied with your results and your customers are satisfied, that's what counts.
You know what, Ivan? If folks are interested in becoming a professional,
yeah,
we've got a podcast for them.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Yeah.
And that podcast, we gave you a little taste, but the deep dive, that's where you want to go. That video is right here.